another hand clap of praise in the house tonight. Come on, is he worthy of praise? Are you excited about what God is doing in your life? Are you happy to be living in the kingdom of God? Come on, let's give him some high praise here for just a second. Mighty God, we praise you. We love you. God, we lift you up. Magnify your name, oh God. You alone are worthy of all our praise, God. We lift you up, God. We magnify your name. It's an honor to be here with you tonight. Most Wednesday nights, I'm across the way in the other building helping with Bible quiz practice, so don't normally get to join y'all over here, but such a sweet spirit of God that's here in the place tonight, and just thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God, thankful to be a part of this church, and thankful for the great leadership that we have. We are a blessed people. We truly are. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 10. And the clock on the back of the wall does not work, but fear not, I have a clock right here with me. I don't tend to be long-winded anyway, so I imagine we'll be out in plenty of time. I do have something that God has laid on my heart here to share tonight, though. So, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If I can tonight, I want to draw your attention back to verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want to talk to y'all for just a few minutes tonight under the subject, Just Stand. Just stand. Let's give God a praise and glory for his word tonight. That's forever settled in the heavens. Mighty God, we love your word. Thankful for your word tonight, God. Pray that you would have your way in the remainder of this service, God. Anoint me as I speak the word you've given me tonight, God. Bless us tonight, God. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated. When Pastor asked me to handle the service for him here tonight, he asked me to share something that was fresh on my heart. And I'm normally not much of a dreamer. A couple weeks ago, though, I was kind of awoken out of a dream. And in this dream, I had a mic, and I was kneeling down beside a pulpit, and I was saying something like, Jenny and I did everything we could to just stand. And as I was saying it, I was crying, and I looked across the crowd and saw Jenny's face, and she had tears running down her cheeks, but she was smiling. And I immediately woke up out of that dream, and part of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 was just running through my head, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's been on my mind ever since I had that dream, and just running through my head, and been on my heart, and also along with that has been kind of our testimony over the past several years. And, you know, I'm sharing this with y'all tonight. It's not for our glory. It's not for pity of what we went through. But I hope that I can build up someone's faith here tonight. And I want to give God some glory for what he's done in our life and what he continues to do. Time's not going to allow me to share my full testimony. I think most of you here tonight know it. But if you don't and you're interested, you haven't heard it, you can go to the church website under the archives, and I shared it under a title called From Tragedy to Triumph. You can go to newlifebhm.com, a plug for our media team there, and go to the archives and listen to it there. But for tonight's discussion, I'm just going to pick out a few bits and pieces just to give it context for those who may not know and just kind of as a refresher. But in 2008, in March of 2008, I was laid off from my job at Regions, kind of out of nowhere after the AmSouth Regions merger, and they just basically picked a line on an org chart and cut all the positions in that line. About 3,000 people lost their jobs, I think it was, if that was the right count. And over the next 7 months, I went through a season of unemployment, and my day-to-day life would be getting up in the morning, coming to church, scouring the internet for jobs, looking through job postings, job websites, because we don't pound the pavement like we used to get out there and visit people, but most of it's done on the internet nowadays, and we didn't have an internet connection at the house, so I'd come to the church, scour the websites, apply for whatever was even remotely, what I was even remotely qualified for, and just would do that, and then I would go off to work some odd job that I had lined up. Some might ask why I didn't get a part-time job in there, and I think I may have even been asked the question, but I was able to make probably just as much money working on my own, doing odd jobs as I would have having a part-time job. Plus, I was able to have flexibility with my schedule should someone want to interview me and call me about a potential job. But in November of 2008, you know, I started back at Regions. That was kind of our day-to-day life, 7 months, day-to-day, every single day, wondering when the job was going to come, wondering what was going to happen. But God took care of us. He was faithful, and he provided for us along the way. I'm thankful for that. In November of 2008, I started back at Regions, and I continued to finish up the rest of those odd jobs I had lined up through the spring of 2009. But I began to realize that I wasn't making enough at Regions salary, just making enough on that salary alone to pay all of the bills and the debt that we had accumulated. So I try to figure things out on my own as we do, and I probably messed things up even more. So finally, I said, I've got to have some help. And I sought out the advice of a man who's a successful businessman, a godly man, and a man who I respect, have a great deal of admiration for, and have looked up to for some time. Went, met with him, and just laid everything out on the table. I knew he had to have a complete picture in order for him to give me good, sound advice, so I laid it out, and I'll never forget the words he spoke to me, and I've shared them here before. He said, if I was you, while my children were young, I'd get this taken care of. He said, I would only be at home to eat and to sleep. He said, I'd be out working another job. So I immediately started looking for a second job. It was just a matter of days. I had one lined up at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Hoover. Started there in April of 2010. Brody was 3 and Braden was about 8 months old. When I began, I was working 5 days a week there plus my 40 hours at Regions. So it was anywhere from 28 to 30 hours part-time at Academy, and 40 hours, at least 40 hours at Regions, sometimes more. So my typical work week was somewhere between 68 and 70 hours, and you know, it was even more than that sometimes when we had special projects going on. But when I originally started there, we had to fill out an availability sheet, and I left Wednesday nights off of my availability. I blocked it out, said I was not available those nights because I knew I had to give up weekends. You know, in retail, weekends is when they do most of their business, so I knew I was going to be working on some Sundays, so I blocked that out so I could make it to church. And I also need to go back and mention that I also consulted with my pastor before I started working the part-time job, got his blessing. You know, his words to me were, this is a season of life. It'll be over at some point. He said, you know, do what you need to do to take care of your family. So this schedule continued roughly for 3 years. It's through the beginning of 2013 when I was able to cut back to about 3 to 4 days a week, and that was about 18 to 22 hours. And that was due to a promotion I had gotten at Regions in October of 2012. And kind of at the end of the message from Tragedy to Triumph, where I shared the rest of this testimony, I announced the promotion at Regions. It had just happened. I hadn't even started yet. I didn't know what the implications were, the impact would be if I could leave Academy at that time. But as it turned out, I wasn't able to, but I was able to cut back some hours. So continue to work there through this year. 4 years was roughly the time that I worked two jobs, and it was a rough stretch for our family. My daily schedule would be wake up, get to work at 8 o'clock, work Regions 8 to 5, go to Academy, be there at 5:30, work 5:30 to close, which was 10, and then get off and go home. And after I got promoted to being a cashier team lead from being a cashier at Academy, then I had to stay, get the deposits ready for the bank, and you know, shut down the store. So that was an extra 30 minutes after close that I had to stay. So I was getting off at 10:30 most nights, sometimes 11, getting home between 11, 11:30. By the time I had a little something to eat and was able to relax for a few minutes and get in bed, it was about 12:30, 1 o'clock most nights. So I get up the next morning, go do it again, do the same thing, and that's kind of was my life, you know, for a long time. There was days that I went without seeing the boys or being able to spend time with them. I would be able to see them when they were sleeping in the morning or sleeping at night when I got home. And Jenny was also having to pick up a lot of slack around the house because I wasn't there to take care of some things. So she was doing all the housework, you know, all the yard work and majority of the parenting on her own. So she's a strong woman, though, and I am thankful that God has blessed me with her. And she has been truly a blessing and a strength through this time that we went through. And she made sure she had the boys here at church every time the doors were open, unless one of them was sick. Her and the boys would be here at church, and then there were the occasions I would be off and, you know, be able to make it to church myself. And I can't tell you how many times I walked in the back door just so exhausted, so tired. It was basically all I could do to drag myself here. But we were here, and we were standing. And we were standing for God, and we were standing on His promises. It was all we could do to just stand. But that is exactly what we did. We stood. My prayer life basically consisted of, I had to really carve it out once this started happening. And I would pray on the way to work in my car, and when I was on the way home late at night, I'd pray, or I'd, you know, turn on Holy Ghost radio on my phone and stream it through my radio, or I'd have a preaching CD and I'd listen to that. And here and there throughout the day, as I would have time, a little downtime at work at my desk, I'd pull up the Bible on my phone or on my computer, and I'd read through it here 5-10 minutes here and there throughout the day, just trying to still carve out my prayer life, keep that going, keep my relationship with God, because I wasn't coming to church every Sunday. I wasn't able to because of that. There were services I was missing out on, and so I really had to make sure I carved that out, because if I didn't, I could have lost my walk with God. But we did that, and I can't even begin to describe. My vocabulary doesn't allow it, and I'm just not that smart to describe how rough it got at some points, but we just kept standing, you know. We had a promise from God. Brother Marks was here in July, I guess it was, of 2008. I was still unemployed, and he laid his hands on me right over here and didn't even know I was without a job and prophesied that I would make more money than I ever made in my life. It was a word directly from God. And there have been times I was walking through that day-to-day life, not only just the unemployed time, but the time working two jobs. And, you know, but I held on to that promise. It looked like that may never happen. Now, working two jobs, I was making more money than I ever made in my life, but I didn't think that that's what God had for me. I mean, I didn't think it was His will for me to work two jobs in order to have that promise that He gave me. So I stood on that promise. We stood on the promise. We stood on God's word. And just even when we didn't feel like it, we stood. We learned a lot of lessons through this time, and we're continuing to even learn some today. We talk about it from time to time and remind ourselves, hey, you know, remember this, you know, and hey, I think God was talking to us about this at that point. But one of the main lessons we learned was that God was still God. It didn't matter our circumstances. It didn't matter what we were going through. It didn't matter what we were facing, but God was still God. And He was still faithful, and He was still in control. And He said in His word, He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He would always be there for us, and He was, and He still is. He was faithful. He was true to His word. And part of my daily prayer for the last 4 years has been, God, bless me with a job, just one job. Bless me with one job or a position, whatever it may be. God, it doesn't matter if it's inside regions, outside regions, wherever it may be. God, You're able. I know You're able to bless me with one job. And You're able to bless me with a job making more than I'm making at both jobs combined. That was every day for 4 years I prayed that prayer. And every day I believed that God could answer that prayer. And every day I believed that that could be the day that God would answer. I didn't lose faith, didn't lose hope. Now, sure, I had my downtime. Sure, I had some dark times. I cried. You know, there was times where Jenny would cry, I'd hold her, and I would cry, she'd hold me, and we'd take turns with that. But God was faithful, and He was with us. And I never failed. We never failed. She was praying. I know there's some people here in the church that were praying for us as well, and we appreciate your prayers, but we never failed, never ceased to pray. God, You're able to do this. So I think it was about the end of February, 1st of March, sometime after Snowmageddon or Snowpocalypse, whatever it is that you like to call the ice storm and snowstorms that we experienced here earlier this year. But I got a phone call from someone I used to work for. If I had been in a previous position or the one before I got my promotion or at Regions and switched departments, or if I was still working for him, a call from him wouldn't have been odd. But we really didn't have much contact at this point because I was doing something a little different. And he called me and asked me if I could come down to his office. So went down and saw him. I was interested, intrigued. I think I texted Jenny on the way down there. I said, hey, so-and-so just called me, wants me to see me. She's like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. So I went down to see him and went in. He asked me to close the door, and he began to tell me he had two different banks contact him, and they were looking for a wire department manager. And that's kind of where most of my banking experience is in wire transfers. And I started that out at South Trust, continued that at AmSouth and at Regions for a time, and until I moved on into a different role in 2012. But he said two different banks had contacted him and wanted to know, first, if he was interested, or second, if he knew somebody that was interested and be a good fit. And one was in Prattville, and one was here locally. And so I told him, I said, well, I don't want to commute to Prattville every day, so what about the one here? And he began to tell me the discussions he had had with them and kind of what he knew about it and how he felt, the impression he got from the guys that he had met. And the more he talked, I was intrigued, I was interested. I'm like, if this is God, it's God. If it's an open door, he'll open it. If it's not, then he'll close it. So I asked him to go ahead and put me in contact with him. So he did, and I think it was about a week or two after that, I got a phone call from the guy that he met with at Iberia and wanted me to go ahead and send him my resume and then go ahead and apply for the job online, which I did. And he called me back shortly thereafter and set up an interview. It was one Thursday. And I went in and talked with him, and in about 2 hours, he sat there and talked to me. And it's not your normal job interview, or this one wasn't. Most of you have been on job interviews, or if you haven't, or maybe you're in a position where you hire folks and take classes, there's usually two different types of interviews. The first, they'll say, tell me about yourself, give me some of your strengths, some of your weaknesses, those kinds of things, and try to pick you apart that way. Or they'll go into, well, tell me about a time where you had to handle a situation like this, or tell me about a time where this happened to you and what did you do. And this was more of a, hey, I saw, okay, you did this at Regions. It says this on your resume. Explain to me what you did. And he went back over pretty much the whole resume and was just asking me different questions. I'd be in the middle of talking, he'd interrupt me, hang on a minute, we'll get there. And he typed, it was a very, very interesting interview. He typed some notes and he said, we'll get back there in a minute, but let me go over here. And he was kind of all over. So for about 2 hours we talked, and he thanked me for coming, said the usual, hey, we've got a few more interviews lined up, we'll be in contact. Well, went back to work at Regions that afternoon and got a phone call from him, and he was wanting me to come back the next week and talk to somebody that was flying in for the day and wanted me to meet with her and just discuss the job with her. Turns out this is a lady that was the acting wire manager, but they have transitioned her into a new role because they have a need. And so they created a position for her, and because of her expertise and her background, she's more experienced in just the wire transfer. She has a lot of the experience within the department that we're a part of. So they moved her into more of an assistant manager role, and so they had an opening for wire managers. So I went that week when she flew in and met with them, and this was only about an hour, but we pretty much just talked shop the whole time. It was, she was telling me about how they process things and what they do and different things, and I know I'm probably boring some of y'all with the details of this, but we just began to talk about the job, and she began to say how they do things, and, I began to say, okay, well, this is kind of how I've done it in the past, and this, we just talked back and forth, and I asked questions, she asked questions, and had a nice discussion. And again, he told me the hiring manager was in and out at that point, and he came in and told me, hey, I'm going to be out of town first of the week next week, got a few more interviews to line up, and hopefully we'll have a decision nailed down by the end of that week. It turns out he called me that Wednesday when he was supposed to be out of town, I think, and he said, hey, we've had a lot of conversations, but we haven't talked about compensation yet, so, what would it take to get you here? So we discussed it for a minute, and he said, okay, well, let me go to my senior management. We'll talk about it. We're interested in you, and I want to see if I can get this approved and see if we can make you an offer. So he calls me that next morning, that Thursday morning, on my way to work, and, before that, I guess I should say that there was, as we talked about compensation, I'm not the one to haggle. I'm not one to kind of negotiate. I'm not very good at that. So after we hung up the phone, I went home that night, talked to Jenny about it. And I said, you know what? If this is God's will, this is what they're going to offer me. And I put out a number, and that's what we prayed for. Next morning, he calls me. I'm on my way to work. He said, hey, I wanted to catch you before the day got away, before you got too busy. He said, we're ready to make you an offer. He said, and this is what we're offering you. And it was the exact amount that I had said, God, let him just offer me this so we don't have to go back and forth. God is a very, very good God. So I made my way through the day regions, and, you know, I went ahead and went in and talked to my boss about that, and boy, she got mad. She got real mad at me, but, you know, she came along after that and wanted what was best for me and my family. But I had to work at Academy that night, and as the night wore on, I was like, you know, I'm not going to turn in my notice yet. I'm turning my notice in. I got the form out. I started filling it out. Like, I'm not going to be one of these that tries to stick around here one night, two nights a week, whatever. God has done this. He's answered my prayer, so I am going to go ahead and turn it in. Turned in the notice, turned in my resignation at Regions the next week, and started at Iberia Bank on April the 7th. And so far, I'm enjoying it. And the best part about it is a four-year prayer was finally answered. A prayer that I had been praying every single day for 4 years was finally answered. A prophecy that was prophesied over my life 5.5 years ago has finally come to pass, and I'm finally walking in that prophecy. And I'm just crazy to believe that God's not finished with us yet. I'm just crazy enough to believe that this is the beginning and that He still has more in store for us. You know, again, I'm not trying to talk us up or again, Penny, I mean, what am I trying to say here tonight? I'm just trying to build somebody's faith. I'm trying to say, if you'll just stand for God, even when it gets tough, even when it seems impossible, even when you're exhausted, physically, mentally, no matter what you're going through, God is still able, and He will see you through it, and He will stand for you. If you stand for Him, He's going to stand for you. Don't let your circumstances define you. Don't let what you're going through define you, but let God define you. We take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Brother Scott, you running that thing? You can get that up there for us. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn to it. And I'm getting ready to wrap it up. We may get done a few minutes early here tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I think Hebrews says it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't even know what to pray, just let that Spirit that's down inside of you make intercession through you, and it can pray a prayer that's above your understanding and outside of your ability. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things, everybody said all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor sickness, nor job loss, nor disease, nor trial, nor tribulations, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's saying, don't let your circumstance define you, because our God is bigger than our circumstance. Our God is bigger than what we're going through. He is greater. And how do we stand? We read it in our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We stand on his promises. We stand on his word. So I hope this helps build someone's faith tonight. I'm getting ready to close. And, you know, each of us have our own testimony. And our testimony is not for our personal glory, or it's not for pity of, oh, look what we went through, look what we lost. Because whatever we lose, God replaces it and gives you something that's even better. I know you may be going through something. You may have lost some things. We lost some things along the way. There were some things that we had, some stuff that we lost, some stuff we had to sell. You know, some relationships that we had that we lost. But God has replaced that, and he's given us even greater than what we had before. So the only reason we are where we're at is because of God's hands on upon us. You know, I told him long ago that whatever happens in my life, it's for his glory, it's for his honor, it's for his praise. You know, I share this with you tonight hoping I can encourage someone. You might be up against something that is bigger than you are. You might be feeling weak. You might be feeling tired, fed up, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to encourage you here tonight. Just stand. So all you got to do is just stand. Stand on his word. Stand on his promises. Stand strong on faith. Stand strong on prayer. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It may be 4 years. It may be 4 months. It might be 10 years. Don't know the timetable. God's ways are above our ways. But I know that he's not slack concerning his promises. And if he said it, it's going to happen. As long as you keep standing and living for him. That's the caveat. You've got to keep standing. You've got to keep living for him. You've got to keep your faith and your trust in him. Why don't we stand here tonight? I'm done. And we've got a few more minutes before we're supposed to be next door to eat. I know you've had visions of food and everything, fellowship dancing through your head tonight, but I appreciate you being intent on the word of God. Appreciate you letting me share my heart with you tonight. And if you just link hands with that person that's next to you, if it's appropriate. You may have to travel across for a little bit, but why don't we just pray tonight and just ask God to help us. Ask him to help us stand. Ask him to give us strength, because he is able. There are times where I know that God's strength was girding me up, and I know that his hand was upon me, and it was only by his strength that he had given me I was able to make it. So let's just pray and ask God to help us. Ask him for strength. Hallelujah, Jesus.